You don't go through life, you don't go through any business if you do anything without failure now and then. The person that stands up and says, I've never failed in business or I've never failed at something, is either a liar or he's not doing anything. Because you do fail. That's part of life. And you have to learn. What do you learn from that? Do you pick yourself up and move forward and try not to make the same mistakes? If you don't make the same mistakes again, you're bound at some point as you learn and grow to be successful. So find out what works for you. Move forward. If you stub your toe, back up, turn a different direction, and move on.
Welcome to the Ken Brelsford Podcast. In today's episode, Ken sits down and talks about failure and how it's an essential part of business and life. Some of the things he shares are the importance of overcoming fear, the role that perseverance or tenacity play in overcoming objections, why drawing on intuition and experience is so important. He also outlines what are some things that people do that guarantee their failure, and the flip side of that is things that people do that can guarantee their success. Ken finally rounds out the conversation with how failure has shaped who he is today. We hope you enjoy today's episode. What are your thoughts about failure overall, and then dive a little bit deeper into each of these subjects?
I'm assuming you're talking about failure in business primarily, but even failure in life. That's part of life. You don't go through life, you don't go through any business if you do anything without failure now and then. The person that stands up and says, I've never failed in business or I've never failed at something, is either a liar or he's not doing anything. Because you do fail. That's part of life. And you have to learn. What do you learn from that? Do you pick yourself up and move forward and try not to make the same mistakes? If you don't make the same mistakes again, you're bound at some point as you learn and grow to be successful. So find out what works for you. Move forward. If you stub your toe, back up, turn a different direction, and move on.
Okay. In network marketing, what are some of the ways in which people that you've seen over the years that they've fallen down, they've failed, and they've either not gotten up, or they've really, I think we're probably more interested in hearing where you've seen them fail, where you've seen people not do well maybe at the beginning, or they hit a roadblock along the way, and then they just get up and say, I'm not going to let this stop me.
Well, and they usually blame it on network marketing, not on themselves. And in reality, with network marketing, you can go to the top or you can be wherever you want to with it if you're willing to pay the price. And assuming that you have the right product and the company gives you the support they need, which by and large, most companies do, some better than others. So the problem that most people have is they don't know what to do. Someone signs them up, they ride off into the sunset thinking they've got a new hot distributor, don't teach them, don't provide education to help them. And there you are sitting out there by yourself not knowing what to do. And so some people at that point get discouraged and quit. Whereas what they should do is say, I'm going to learn from this. What do I need to learn? They get on every conference call they can. They go to the conventions, the regionals, whatever meetings they can. They talk to other people that have been successful. You become usually what, if you surround yourself with strong people, you will become strong over time because you'll watch them and observe. So you have to look at your upline and say, who's the strong ones? Where are they? Let me learn from them and observe. But then you practice it. In practice, you don't come out one day and then all of a sudden the next day you're perfect, no failures. You still fail. But do you pick yourself up? Do you move forward? Do you get discouraged easily? What happens? And over time, you will get stronger and stronger and do better and better if you persevere and keep moving forward.
Okay. So why do you think that having challenges and even failure is essential for business and for life?
It makes you grow. How do you become strong if you never have any pressure? What about the tree? Let's just use examples of trees out there. The tree that starts to grow, it's a little sapling or whatever, and a big windstorm comes along, and because it's starting to really blow hard on it, the tree starts driving its roots deeper and deeper, which makes it stronger and stronger. The trees that never have any wind or anything to push it back against or to grow with are the ones that 10 years later, maybe the first windstorm comes up, their roots are only 2 or 3 inches deep and wham, they're over on their side. So when you have obstacles in life and in business, you sink your roots deeper by learning and pushing back, just like you're that little sapling trying to get strong and be able to persevere and survive. That's what you have to do going forward. You grow and progress with opposition. None of us like opposition. It's hard. It's discouraging. It's challenging, but it makes us grow when we have it if we keep pushing forward.
Okay. So what about objections? Because some people, they just tip over the second somebody says no to them.
There's always objections. Whenever you're in doing anything that involves getting other people to buy something, like becoming a distributor or sharing this product or whatever, there's always pushback. And it's a numbers game. Honestly, it's a numbers game. The more people you talk to, the sooner you're going to get to the one that says yes. Most people do not say yes immediately, especially if they're family or friends. Those are sometimes the hardest people to get on board. So you have to keep showing them a positive side to it, why you love the product, not to the point where you become obnoxious, but you just have to keep presenting that positive side. Eventually, you can get to a yes with a lot of people. But you need to give them some space sometimes. They say no, okay, back up, start over. If there's somebody you don't know and it's a one-time thing, you do your best and move on. I remember years ago as a young missionary for my church, we did what we call tracting. We'd knock on doors to see if someone was interested in hearing our message. I was trained by a real strong missionary, and he said, you know, we're two Mormon missionaries from our church. We'd like to talk to you about Jesus Christ. Can we come in? If they said no, he was knocking on the next door almost before the no came out.
Okay.
And so we had more people we were talking to, because in those days, I calculated once, we had to knock on about 100 doors to get one person that would let us in that we could visit with.
And this was in Germany, right?
This was in Germany, which was a tough country and tough people in some ways to get a yes to. From. And so, you know, it's a numbers game. The more people you talk to, the more success you'll have. You cannot get discouraged with the no's. You're going to have them, and you're going to have a lot more no's than you have yeses. So you've got to get used to it. You've got to be thick-skinned, and no matter what people do, you've got to be moving forward. And so that's what you do. You just keep pushing forward beyond the objections and keep going.
Okay.
With a smile and a cheerful, pleasant personality.
Okay. Let's talk about fear for a moment, because I think that fear really holds people back in a lot of different ways. How do you tie fear to failure, or how would you?
Well, if you're fearful, you're setting yourself up for failure. Now, I know that we're all fearful to a certain extent about certain things, but we have to overcome it and say, look, I'm not going to let fear drive my program. If we do, we might as well quit before we start, because we just said we're not going to succeed. You've got to get rid of the failure. One of the ways you do it is look at other people, see what in the same organization, if it's network marketing or whatever, and say, if they can be this successful, why can't I? I'm just as smart as them. I can work just as hard as them, and I'm going to push forward and be as successful. And that helps overcome fear, because if you can see other people doing it, then you have to say, well, what am I fearing? If they can do it, I can too. I'm gonna move forward.
Okay. I'm actually reading something that you'd written previously, and this is in your manifesto, that the older that you get, the more you realize that these fears, they never happen.
Well, the statistically, I've heard this said, that about 80% of the things that we fear that are gonna happen to us don't.
And so it's probably even less than that.
And maybe even less. So why are we fearing things? Because at least four out of five are never going to happen. And yet we let that fear on that 4 out of 5 hold us back and make us so we're not as successful as we could be. That's the bottom line of that. Most things do not happen that we think are when we're fearful.
Yep. So let's look about risk versus failure for a moment. You're a businessman by nature. You're an entrepreneur by nature. Entrepreneurs, there's a sense that entrepreneurs are risk takers. That's not necessarily always true, but you tend to take calculated risks along the way.
Everybody takes risk in life. You take a risk when you step out to cross a street. Some car may hit you if you're not careful. Or you take a risk when you're driving. I was in an accident a couple of months ago. We took a risk when we started to drive across the street, even though the light was green, and a car came through the red light and sideswiped us and hit us. So that was a risk, and we lost on that deal. But most of the time when we cross the street with a green light in a car, we think we're going to make it. So these calculated risks, you have to say, okay, there's a risk reward. For instance, recently I was looking at a company, and I said, okay, if I invest in this company X number of dollars, what are my odds going to be that I'm going to get if I win? And the greater that is over, if you take the cost divided into what the potential earnings are in percentages, so you've got an annual or a payout percentage, the greater that odds are that it'll be multiplied many times, the greater it is to, okay, let's take that risk. Yeah, we could lose this money, but we may make five times our money in a year, 2 years, whatever it is. You weigh that and you go for it. If you're going to put money in, it's a startup, and your best you'll ever make is double your money, which is 100% return, it's too risky. I don't care what the amount of money is. What are the odds? Unless you just have money you want to throw away on something,
right,
which most people don't. And most, even if they do, people shouldn't do that. So you weigh the risk reward. The risk, you know, you're going to have a little bit of fear and trepidation with it. Gee, I may lose that $100,000 or $1 million or whatever that investment is. I looked at an investment today. You know, potentially, what is this going to do? Can I deleverage the thing and up my odds of the reward, even though it's in a traditional business that won't grow much? And so I'd say, how do I maximize the earnings so that the reward is so much higher than the risk I take in buying it?
Okay.
And so you always look at things like that to determine if it makes sense or not. And there's some businesses, yeah, I'd love to have that business. It can generate X number of dollars every year unless we really screw up. And that can make people fearful too. They think, gee, am I going to mess up in this deal? So you just have to get rid of those things. You have to look at the risk and say, what's the reward? Is it great enough that I want to do it?
So you have to have some risk along the way.
There's always risk. Yeah. There's risk. Am I going to get up tomorrow morning and be alive? There's a risk in that. It might be a very small risk, you know, and we assume because we've gotten up every morning since we were born, well, we're never going to die. Certainly as a teenager, we assume we're never going to die. As you get older, you realize, gee, I am going to die. But so you don't know, and the odds are going up every day that you won't get up some morning and be alive. And you won't even get up. So there's always a risk reward in life on anything we do. Is how do you minimize the risk, maximize the return, and move forward? And sometimes you lose your money. It's just like if you go to Vegas, you've got a 50-50 chance, that it's almost a 50-50 chance that it'll come up red or yellow. You bet on red or green.
Red or black?
Black.
Yeah, red or black?
I don't gamble, but I know this.
I think you just showed that you don't gamble.
I don't gamble. It's a fool's game. But anyway, so I bet on red and it comes up black. 50-50 chance, basically. You're not gonna win all of the time, no matter what you do. So you have to be willing to lose what you invest in. That's an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs are willing to take that risk if it's a good entrepreneur, if his reward is great enough for him, assuming he has the money to risk in the beginning.
Yeah.
That's the real challenge for entrepreneurs, is building enough capital they can do that and are willing to take that gamble.
So you're talking about risk and reward and calculating what that risk might be. And at the end of it, sometimes you have to just rely on your intuition, whether it's going to be the right investment or the right move to make, right?
Well, as you get older, you get more experience, you have a better gut feeling on something and if it'll work or not, supposedly. Not always, but supposedly. And so, yes, as you get older, you have intuition and feelings that help you along the way, so you can avoid some of the mistakes. I said in the beginning, you know, a real good businessman or entrepreneur is one that if he fails doing something one way, won't keep doing it over and over and over again. He'll change his tactic. He's going to say, this isn't working. I'm not going to do it again. You can't do the same thing over and over and over again, expect a different result. It doesn't happen. So you have to look forward and say, okay, that didn't work. What could work? That's why you look to your mentors and people around you that have been successful. You might even talk to them and say, what would you do if you were me? And generally, if you have a real good mentor, he's going to probably be a lot older than you with a lot more experience. You don't want a mentor that hasn't done anything, or he's not going to be a mentor. He's going to steer you wrong. You got to have somebody that's put skin in the game and things and learn through their own experience what works and what doesn't. And you have to also know that, look, not everything that he does is going to work for me because we have different personalities. So you have to find what works for your personality, maybe a little bit different than him, but he'll give you ideas and start moving you in a different direction.
Well, that's another thing that you brought up before, and is that before you even get involved in any venture, you actually have to have a deep understanding of who you are and how you operate and what your strengths are.
You have to know if it's something that's going to be, well, let's go back to Andrew Carnegie. Andrew Carnegie once said that he became the wealthiest man in the world by surrounding himself with smarter people. Basically meaning not just smarter IQ-wise, but experience-wise, businessmen. That's how he did it, because he knew his limitations. We have to know our limitations. We have to know what can I do, what can't I do, and you fill in the gaps with other people, either as mentors or if you own a business, you hire them to be able to do what you can't do. I can't do accounting. I can't do a lot of technological things, so I hire people that can do these things for me and I can trust. And so you have to surround yourself with smart people.
Okay. So you mentioned before here and in other places that if you make a mistake, you don't go too far down the road knowing that you're making that mistake. You back up and you go about it in a different direction. So part of that is also knowing how to assess how you got to where you are. You've mentioned that before. I'm actually looking at part of your manifesto. How important is it for people to actually be aware of where they are, to know that step A, B, and C got me here? And do you see that that is one of the major problems why they keep making the same mistake? They don't analyze it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't analyze where they're at and what they're doing. You've got to look at you've got to be able to persevere and keep going, but not doing it the same way. Even as your business grows and becomes successful, you've got to be able to evolve and do things different, because a larger business is much different than a smaller business, a beginning business. And so you've got to be willing to back up. And just because you're tenacious, just because you want to keep going and never quit, might be the wrong decision too. You might have a business that just has no way on earth, no matter how much money you pump into it, no matter how hard you work, that it will succeed. It may be in a bad industry, a dying industry. Look, if you'd have stayed in the horse and carriage business in the 1900s, thinking that, gosh, I can do better next year, when cars were coming along and starting eating up more of the market share, and you didn't see what was happening, you were just going to be dead in the water at some point with no money. And so it's kind of like that. I had I've been a book publisher twice in my life. First time worked out decent. Second time, I got in the business to save a business that was in trouble. I was getting it turned around. It was doing well. And it was just the time when ebooks were starting to really get popular. We moved in that direction, and I saw it coming. It was going to be probably a very big thing at some point. But we couldn't move fast enough. And all of a sudden, in 1 year, about half of the books all of a sudden were sold as ebooks. And so half of my market was gone. I didn't have enough of my books into that format to be able to do, and the cost is high at the time. And I could see that I was going to hit a wall with that business. So stop throwing money at it. So from one day to the next, I shut the business down. And I took all the payables that I had, paid everything off. I didn't go through bankruptcy with it. I try not to do bankruptcy when I own a business like that. I'd rather pay everybody off. And that's what I did. But I saw it, I couldn't go any further with it, no matter what I did or how much money I put into it. So sometimes you just have to pack your bag and move on. And that's what I did with that business.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to do that. But on the other hand, if you don't have stay power long enough, you may do that and the business could have been great. It was just you was the problem.
Well, it's kind of a tricky balance to know when to stop being tenacious and when to stop doing something foolhardy. You know,
a lot of it comes back to that experience. How much experience have you had, and do you know when to pull the plug? I knew when to pull the plug. Some people might not have and would have stayed in the business and been hurt. I mean, it cost me a lot of money, but if I'd have stayed in, it would have been a lot more money than that over time.
Yeah.
So I could just see that wall coming full bore at me, and I thought, I can't go any further. It's not going to work. I'm not throwing any more money at it.
Okay. So let's talk about, again, your experience looking backward at the network marketing arena for the last 45 years. You've watched people fail. You've watched people succeed. What are some of the things that you've seen that is almost a guarantee to cause people to fail?
Well, a big mistake, this goes across all industries, but a big mistake is owners come in, they start seeing more money maybe than they've ever seen in their life flow through the front door without looking at the back door of how much has to go out to keep the business alive. Excuse me. And then they have to start, then they go out and say, I'm going to buy me a new car, I'm going to do this. And they start spending the money before it can get to the people that have to the bills, let's say.
Okay.
That'll destroy a business overnight. I've seen that time and time again. Same thing can happen with the distributor. Starts making more money than he's ever made before. Goes out, I'm going to buy me a $1 million house. Buys it. Always borrowing the money, of course. That's what kills you. And pretty soon, if there's a downturn, which there always is in the new network marketing, it's not always straight up. It may turn down a little bit for a while before it turns back up. All of a sudden, the cash flow isn't there and you lose your house. And then you blame it on network marketing. Excuse me. That's the outcome, and that's what happens so often. You can't spend the money before you've earned it. In business, in network marketing, you always pay your bills first. You don't borrow money if you can help it. Borrowing money will kill most people ultimately. Don't borrow money. Pay cash with it.
Okay.
My parents taught me that. I don't think they ever borrowed money, not even for a car. Not. Only time I think they borrowed money is when they bought a house. It was always a modest house. And so they never had financial problems. They were always able to save money. And even when they had a house that they had borrowed money on it, they paid it off as quickly as they could.
Okay. So sound financial discipline on a personal level is one way to make sure that you stay successful, or not having those sound principles will guarantee your failure. What else? What other kinds of things are guarantees to cause somebody to fail in network marketing?
Not willing to pay the price if they're a distributor, or if they're a company, it's the same thing, I guess. Not willing to pay the price for what they have to do to be successful.
What do you mean by pay the price? What kinds of things do you
They just think
that?
They can get into it and succeed without any effort, you know, and they don't. If you want to go to the top, you can, but you have to pay the price, and it is a steep price. Some people will do it, and they will go to the top. Sometimes the mistake that people make is, look at all the money I'm making. I did this. So, maybe I'll jump to a different company because, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, they think. Get over there and it's already burned up. And they realize it was actually greener where they were at. So some people jump too quick. They think they're smarter than they are. Nobody's that smart. And generally what's happened is, they think all their distributors that they brought in and those people brought in and so forth will move with them. Rarely does anybody move. And so they're all over there having to start from scratch again. Nobody's moving with them. Or what they do is they start bad-mouthing the company or saying it's the company's fault to this, the company did this. And that's just an excuse of why you're failing. Generally, the people that are doing that are failing themselves, and the problem is generally themselves, not the company. I see those kind of things over and over and over again in network marketing. And everybody reacts differently. Some people quit the industry, blame it on the industry. Some people just become content to buy the product, make a few $100 here and there. I was sitting in a meeting a long time ago with a distributor who had, was trying to help. He came to Utah and got me to have lunch with him and a guy he was trying to recruit into our business. And this is a guy, I'll call him Barney, had been a distributor with us for several years. And so we're sitting there and talking to this new guy who had been very successful in a previous company. And finally, the guy says to Barney, says, I may join this company, Barney, but I'll never sign up under you. And Barney got wide eyes and looked at him and said, well, why is that? Because he thought they were friends, see?
Right.
He brought him to the table, should go with me. And the guy said to him, Barney, I watched you, and when you got to where you were making $10,000 a month, now this was a few decades ago when $10,000 is a lot more than now, but when you got to $10,000 a month, which was more money than you'd ever made in your life, you quit. I'm not going to sign up under somebody that's going to quit. I want a leader that's going to really go forward and push the business. And that isn't you, Barney.
I mean,
this became a real learning experience for Barney. Barney turned around from that point. The guy never did sign up, as I recall. But I know if he signed up, he didn't sign up under Barney. But Barney went back to work and really started to do his business, and his business grew. But it was an eye-opener to him. You know, if you're going to be in business, you can't sit home and expect that business to thrive without you going out and working. And that's what Barney thought. And that's what hurt him and why I didn't get this other. He may have been even more successful if he had gotten that guy involved. So what I've often said to people, the people that you bring in network marketing will never be stronger than you are. If you're working part-time, they're probably going to work part-time, with few exceptions. If you don't do this or don't go to the meetings, don't get on the conference calls, don't go out and recruit, they're not going to do it. So you set the pace for your whole organization. And then you sit back and wonder, how come I'm not making any money? You know, you get what you pay for in life. If you want to be successful, you're going to pay the price. That's what I mean by all of that stuff.
Okay. So knowing your limitations and being adaptable, how do those fit into dealing with failure as a distributor?
Well, a smart person over time, this kind of goes back to a little bit of what we talked about. A smart person over time knows what he can do and what he can't do. And if he's going to be successful, he's got to circle himself by around people that have the traits and the ability to do the things that he can't do. And maybe he can learn and compensate for those weaknesses, and over time they're not his weaknesses anymore. If you want to learn how to get on a stage in front of people and give a talk, you got to get on a stage in front of people and give a talk, no matter how bad it was or is going to be. Because you'll never learn if you're just timid and sit back. That's a big thing, speaking in public, for most people. They just fear it, panic. And it's funny because over the years, I've seen people who worked for me, almost all of them, the first time they got put on the stage, didn't know how to give a talk. Boy, few times later, a year or two later, they're up there and they are powerful because they pushed through it, kept doing it, and learning and progressing and learning how to read the audience. What do I have to say to make sure I'm holding their attention? How do I do that? So you have to take your fears and turn them into strengths over time by surrounding yourself with strong people and learning from them.
Okay. So one final question here. How is failure shaped you into who you are?
Well, because I had the personality that would not let failure stop me. I try to find ways to do things. I'll give you an example. When I was a teenager, in high school I took a public speaking class, I did abysmal. Mainly, I think, because in our church, the youth have to give talks off and on. And my mother would write my talks. And I had such a great memory then, I wish I still did. I could memorize that talk and spit it out word for word without any mistakes. Could be 5 minutes, whatever the length of time was. And so that worked real well for me until on the mission I talked about before, I went to Germany. My mother wasn't there to write my talks anymore. And not only that, it was in a foreign language. So that put double pressure on me to learn how to give talks. And I look back in my life to the man I had a lot of respect for, which was my bishop. And I remembered how he could get up. I had to see him sitting on the stand, and he'd be jotting a few little notes down on a 3x5 card. He'd get up and give an eloquent, fantastic talk. And so there I am in Germany thinking, now how am I going to do this? I'm trying to learn German. First talk I ever gave was a week after I got there, and I had to be in German. My companion wrote me a talk in, kind of like my mother, two or three sentences in German, taught me how to pronounce the words. I got up. That was my beginning. After that, I never had anybody write my talks. I had to do it on my own, including in German. And so over time, I said my bishop did it with a card, so I'm just going to make a few little notes down, so I, with scriptures generally, and then I would start, just get up and give a talk. And it wasn't very long till I was to the point where, getting in front of an audience, my heartbeat didn't even go up one beat per minute. And I could get up and talk on any topic on the gospel that I wanted to at any time. And all I did when I knew what the topic was would pick out two or three scriptures, write them down on that 3x5 card, or an experience I had that related to it, and there I'd go. Now, I've done this so many decades of my life, generally I don't have to write down anything. I don't want to write down anything. I want to be guided in what I'm saying and be able to be motivational. And so over time, you can get better and better at things if you keep doing it, even if it was a weakness when you were young or before, depending on where you're at in life.
Okay. Any final thoughts about failure?
Embrace it. You know, don't be afraid of it. Embrace it and just turn around and figure out how to do it better and learn from it. If you take that attitude about failure, it will be the sharpener on a sword that's going to sharpen your sword as you go through life. If you're afraid of it, you're going to have the dullest sword out there and you won't succeed in life. So don't be afraid of any failures. Just move forward and be successful over time. And don't blame other people for your mistakes and failures. It's always you. Don't blame them. Don't blame the company. Don't blame something else. Just learn from it and move forward. That's all I can tell people, and they'll be successful.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed that episode. To find out more about what Ken does, please visit his website at kenbrailsford.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review it. By doing so, that will enable us to bring more and greater content to you with each and every episode. Thanks for listening.